One. Good afternoon. Today is Monday, June the 18th, 167th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the Bank Dude and his omnipresent electronic device, Walter.
Actually, I've never named my phone.
Really?
Yeah, I never thought about that. But anyway, it is good to see you. It's good to pre-record this because I'm not here today.
Spontaneity, however, is here. Yeah. So this afternoon, we're spending a little bit of time talking about some terminology, some definitions, some of the reasons why banks and financial institutions do the things that they do the way that they do them.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing about it.
Boy, that makes one. We'll see if we can build on that audience when we come back. Okay, so.
I'm Jim Manji, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Billy Graham. Quote, "The only time my prayers are never answered is on the golf course." Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Regularly?
No, I rarely golf.
Oh,
that's
see.
Why my prayers are never answered.
Yeah, well, there is that you got to play to win. Yeah. Concept that's going on there. John, how many people, new hires, somebody who's never been in the banking industry, come in and are inundated by jargon? Is yours a jargon-intensive industry?
Well, very much so. And we have lots of acronyms and so forth. I think the only institution I've ever seen that has more is the hospital. I've been involved with the hospital and the Board of Trustees, and I mean, they've got an acronym for everything, and I think they've got, you know, they have so many acronyms, some of the acronyms have two or three meanings, depending on the context. So I'm constantly interrupting somebody as they're talking to me, saying it's...
Do we need to use the term window dressing and put that under jargon?
No,
really. Probably not. Okay.
Well, and the reason they have a limit is, what if one of the too big to fails goes down? There would not be enough to insure everybody, and so they have these limitations in case of that. But in a smaller bank, if a bank our size were to go down, it's a drop in the bucket. So they insure, in the past they've insured everything. So and the other thing they did temporarily, they called it TAG, and now I'm trying to remember what the acronym stands for, temporary something. Anyway, they have insured non-interest or low-interest-bearing deposits without limitation. I think that expires here pretty soon, but that all was to try and bolster the confidence in the bank. So the FDIC insurance was all to keep banks from being run. Now, one of the other issues is the premium's gone up big time because of all the bank failures, and that is a
premium being something that the savings... The individual,
the bank
has, or this is a fee that the banks have that then gets parceled out to everybody.
The bank pays an FDIC insurance premium on all deposits, just like if you were to buy car insurance. The rate went up because the loss exposure was increased because of all the bank failures, and so that has shrunk the margins of banks across the country.
To the point where it's really not a profit center?
No, to the point in which there's a couple of things that have happened in the banking industry that have made banks less profitable than they were in the past. FDIC insurance premium increases is one of them. It's a substantial cost to the banks.
Let me guess. Staffing for additional regulatory environment reports and meetings.
That is correct. We just call it cost of compliance. FDIC insurance and cost of compliance are two major hits that all banks have taken. Smaller banks have probably been hit more than the bigger banks.
Yeah, because you got to pay your guy It doesn't matter the size of the bank.
We're a fraction of the size of Bank of America, and we have to comply to the same rules.
Yeah, I refer to it as I can sell one spot here and buy a pencil in San Francisco at KCBS. They can buy a transmitter.
Yeah.
And when I need a transmitter, it's the same cost, but I can't do it on one spot.
That's right.
Okay, I got you. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with bank dude, John Dalby. John, another phrase I think that's used an awful lot that people kind of go, okay, a teller. Where did that title come from?
Wow, I don't know. You got me stumped on that one.
Okay, fair enough. One for the good guy.
Yeah. I have no idea why they're called tellers.
Okay.
Now I'm going to have to go find out.
Yeah, it's probably some communication thing that then you can share. Well, you can share with your next newsletter. You can share on your next Talk Shop. Your choice.
Well, here's an interesting one. You have, generally in a bank, you have the teller line on one side, the operations. And on the other side, you have the carpeted area with desks.
The desks, people,
right?
Yeah.
And that's called the platform.
Oh, really? Okay.
And your next question
on
is?
On stage?
Why is it called the platform would be the next follow-up question.
So, well, I would figure it would be like an up on a car lot.
No, because actually, in the early banks, they had a raised platform with a little like picket fence and a gate to go up to talk to the bank president or the loan.
So that's where a lot of the officers would be in addition to just the
and
loan
initially
officers.
When the banks were formed, there was a platform that you had to step up onto to go talk to them.
And so if you go like to the Clark Museum, an old
there
bank,
probably was one there.
You probably could find on the footings somewhere or see
where that platform was. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any would you be tempted at all to go into an old historical bank and use it as a functional? Could you do it?
Absolutely.
I think that'd be the coolest thing in the world is to have that back as a bank.
Yes, there are two branches here that I would love to operate in. One is the old Bank of America branch in Ferndale, which still has the old teller windows and so forth.
It's still intact.
Right.
Yeah.
And the other one is Lolita. The original Bank of Lolita.
Bank of Lolita. Okay.
If you ever have a chance, when I was at Humboldt, we donated that to the Chamber of Commerce in Lolita. So it's owned by the Chamber, I believe, today. But, you know, if it was economically feasible, it would be a lot of fun to actually have a branch and operate, you know, the way they did, you know, 50 or 100 years ago. That would be.
The Clark Museum, would that have any appeal?
Well, yeah, the building would, yes.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with modern banking. There's no parking. That's the problem with the Clark Museum. It's the problem with a lot of the old bank buildings is
well, now, how do they do
parking
it?
How do they do
that in metropolitan areas where there's no parking?
Well, you have so much commerce in the downtown. You know, if you go down to San Francisco.
Yeah, I've seen the Wells Fargo building.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's so much commerce just right there that, You know, people are walking in and making their deposits. It's easy to do because everybody works there and are parked there anyway.
The style of old banks, you know, the big, I think for many of us, is the two that you mentioned, the one mm-hmm. that I mentioned, or the Bank of America, the front side of it now that's vacant.
Right.
The big atrium.
Yep.
Was that just show, or was there reason for that?
I think what they were trying to convey was strength, you know, that it's an institution, having the marble and, you know, some of the columns and so forth give you a feel of stability.
Been here a long time, be here a long time, yeah.
But now because of the, you know, FDIC is the FDIC insurance is so common, we're so used to it, that you open a bank account where it's convenient or you get the best service or you have some connection as opposed to, you know, where you think you would be.
Yeah, that surety.
Change the buying practices.
As you consider some of the different choices that are available mostly cloudy out there, today with the different architectural styles,
drizzle. Hopefully that'll clear away today.
Do you see that there's a midpoint?
58 to 63, a mid-ground between 10 miles per hour
the old
tonight.
Traditional
mostly cloudy, patchy fog, and
Western
occasional
bank.
Drizzle through the night. Lows in the upper 40s,
all computers,
north wind 10 miles per
all
hour.
All the behind-the-scenes
well
stuff, the business
feet.
Side of it,
and that's
rather
your weather
than
on
the front side of it.
Is there a KINS?
If you could design money, no object. Physicalness, no object, so you mm-hmm. weren't fitting into a particular confine. What would the ideal bank look like?
Function is probably more important than appearance, simply in that you have to have ease. You know, I believe your experience starts when you're looking for a place to park. Two, you know, I would love to have multiple drive-through lanes at every branch, because I think that adds a lot of value. But as far as the appearance goes, it really needs to fit with the community it's in.
Be a reflection rather than a
correct
landmark.
Correct.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money, you won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Eureka. Is there a footprint? You mentioned parking lot is a value, or the double drive-throughs mm-hmm. in lieu of parking.
In addition to.
Oh, in complement,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
That would really be a big footprint. What are you thinking, a block would be the ideal size?
You know, for a main branch like we have, yeah, half a block would probably be what you need, would be ideal.
So a little bit more storefront for the
yeah.
drive-through from
and
what
we're,
you guys
we're,
have.
We've run out of space in our building, and that is, you know, one of the next challenges we'll have is as we grow, how can we be continue to grow, hopefully. How are we going to be convenient to our customers when there's literally – you know, no more space to put any more teller stations, and we don't want our customers to wait at all. So you got to have enough people available, enough windows available to take care of them.
At what point do you say, or would an institution determine that while it may have been the former main branch, we're landlocked, can't do anything, need to move a segment of the operation offsite, or redefine main branch and go to another location?
We are trying to answer that question for ourselves as we speak.
Oh.
You know, I don't, we're looking, you know, we're fine for a few more years, I'm sure. But at some point in time, we're going to have to do something. And so we're looking at all of our options.
Up isn't an option.
Not in our building.
Out isn't an option.
It is, but then you take up your parking lot.
Oh, no, I was thinking either Rob and Sherry's building.
Yeah, no, no.
Or the street. I thought both would be frowned upon, frankly, but.
Yeah, yeah, and I think if we went out into the parking lot, there might be some ire over.
Oh, where would the neighbor's customers park then when they got
exactly.
full?
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, there's some issues there. So, well, you know, it's one of those things that I guess it's a good problem.
Yeah, it's certainly challenging, but when you're in the environment that you're in, the legal environment, are there constraints as far as what you can and can't do other than the ADA and the normal kinds of things? Is there any regulatory constraints that you
not really
run into?
No, not really, other than, you know, we have to have secured areas for certain things. Security is probably the only issue there, but it's functional security.
The hours that you're open, is that John and the board going, we don't want to open, we don't want to get in until 9:45, we won't open till 10. Yeah, we're going to go home pretty early, so let's shut her down at 5:30. Do you have that autonomy, or is there some restrictions also about how many days you're open and the length of time that you're open on those days?
The only regulatory restrictions are that you cannot be closed for consecutive days. So if you have a 3-day weekend, you can't be closed, on Friday preceding a 3-day weekend if the bank's closed on Monday. And the only time that really becomes an issue is Thanksgiving, because it's always on a Thursday. So you're open on a Friday following that. But as far as hours go and days, you know, are you open on Saturday and Sunday? Are you open in evenings? You know, so forth. That's all market driven.
What constitutes open? I know it sounds silly, but 2 hours? Is that an open day, or is there a minimum number of hours that open is defined as?
No, there isn't a minimum.
So you literally could be open for an hour,
yeah.
And that would qualify?
When Saturday banking started becoming very popular.
That's where I was headed, yeah.
I was working with Bank of America in Ukiah at the time that they implemented Saturday banking. It was the hours wars they were having with Wells Fargo. Everybody kept expanding their hours, trying to be competitive. And we opened on Saturdays from, I think we were open from 10 to 1, so it was only 3 hours.
But you were still there.
Yes, and we had to pay everybody for a full day. So it was.
It really, really worked out well.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times 442. We'll be back with more from John Dalby.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:45. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the bank dude, John Dalby. John, we've got different curious customs, I guess, in banks. And it's probably because it's financial. But if you showed up with a polo shirt on, even if it was casual dress Friday or casual dress Tuesday, mm-hmm. You know, whatever the day is, there would be a reaction. If the tellers showed up, however, formally dressed, there would be a reaction. How do you strike that balance between, or banks, with dress codes and things of that nature that aren't, it's not the legal component, it's the meeting expectation part of the program. How do banks come around to that? What is really reflective? Because if you had an ag loan department, you know, should they show up in boots and jeans and maybe a Carhartt kind of a shirt, because that's who their customers mm-hmm. are.
You know, that's a really interesting question, and there is no, quote, formal appropriate dress code for bankers. I mean, at this point, you know, I'm wearing a, you know, suit and tie today, and most days
we do appreciate that versus the Speedos of last time you were here.
That never happened, by the way.
Okay, they were slow-os. They weren't Speedos.
You know, we still have our male officers wearing a coat and tie. We have a casual day once a month, and then during the Relay for Life, the month and a half before Relay for Life, we allow our employees to buy a casual day each Friday, and they're allowed to wear jeans and logo wear, you know, something with our name on it.
Your logo wear.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Yeah, okay. And then, but I do require that our senior management team wear slacks as opposed to jeans. So we're probably one of the last vestiges of the suit and tie, other than maybe some attorneys, not all. But the fact is, you know, when I first started banking, there were men's clothing stores here that sold suits and ties and shirts and dress shoes, and you know, now I can't buy a suit, you know, in Humboldt County.
In town, yeah.
And so, you know, it's really changed a lot. And you know, I've asked myself over and over again, well, okay, do we start, you know, the whole movement is towards more casual attire throughout almost all industries. And, you know, when do we make that transition? You know, when do we take the ties off? And I don't know when that's going to happen.
Or conversely, you start doing that and the pendulum starts swinging back.
Yeah.
And now you're left out in left field. You know, I wouldn't think many would feel comfortable having that occur either. Mm-hmm. So is there a lot of trends monitoring that you guys do?
No, not really. But, you know, if you look at the trend, you know, 50 years ago, you know, a developer or a business person would generally wear a coat and tie because there was a source of pride in their appearance and so forth.
Out in the field.
Yeah. Yep. You know, and, you know, even if you had a retail establishment, you'd wear a coat and tie. Now it's swung to the point where, you know.
Shorts and sandals.
Yeah. or a sweatsuit. And, you know, it's gone so far to the other end. You're right. Is the pendulum going to swing sometime where we start seeing people dressing more professionally?
Well, and that's one of the intriguing things for me when I see some of the old photographs. The customers are dressed and the business people are dressed. You know, mm-hmm. even if you're casual, you still have got the suspenders. There's still a tie. The long sleeves are still rolled up. Things obviously have changed. What would happen if you had, let's say, if you wore a hat that was a top hat to work? Would that be the reaction of the community, or would it be something different?
Well, when it's raining, I sometimes wear a hat.
I wasn't thinking of the French beret thing. I wore a cowboy hat. I would say just how things change.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it's changed a lot. I remember hearing a lot about some of the older business people that literally would bring two shirts to work, and after lunch they would put a freshly starched shirt on, just because they took so much pride in how they
that's the way it was
their
done.
Appearance, right? Yeah. And those days are long gone.
Yeah, and we'll just kind of wrap her up there. Thanks for coming by. So you don't need a topic sometimes. We can have fun this
there
way,
you go.
Too. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow. Yep.